Jeff Strauss and his wife were married in 1936. In what areas of the city have you lived in, principally?
Well, the Oakland section when I went to school.
But since you're married?
Since I'm married, the Squirrel Hill section.
You live in the Squirrel Hill community.
That's right.
Well, we'll return to your personal life a little later on. For now, could we pick up on your activities between finishing law school and going into the Army? What were you doing in that interim period?
Well,
Or did the Army follow pretty immediately?
When was the time I was in the Army? What? No.
You say you tried court-martial.
Yes.
Trials. Was that here in this country?
That was on the bases where I was stationed.
I see. Did you experience any anti-Semitism in the Army?
Well, yeah, I would say yes to a certain degree, but I mean, it wasn't, I mean, I didn't, I mean, I was in the Army and you just made the best of it, and there was no real problem with it that I complain about.
Were there Jewish boys involved in the court martial?
No. I mean, there wasn't any rule that said they couldn't be court-martialed, they weren't. I mean, I don't recall that. They may have participated in the court-martialing process. I was a trial advocate. I was the prosecution side. There weren't many that I can recall in the Jewish boys. I mean, that isn't because I... one time was the advocate for the prosecution. I mean, that wasn't the reason, but I mean, I just didn't run across anyone on the basis that we were. If there had been, I'm sure they would have been tried as anyone else.
Was this experience in the Army influential in directing you into your field as a prosecutor?
Well, I'm not sure, but I mean, I liked the work that I was doing while I was in the Army.
In retrospect, do you consider your years in service as having been a positive experience?
Yes, I think it was.
Then you returned from the service and continued your career, and I understand you were chief prosecutor for 3 district attorneys in the mid-40s, 50s, and 60s,
yes.
Handling more than 100 murder cases, according to the Pittsburgh Press article in 1977. Who were these 3 district attorneys?
Well, Bill Rawhauser was one. Ed Boyle was another. Boyle and Rawhauser. And, who? Jim Malone. He was a Republican. I worked under Rawhauser, Malone, and the other one that I
just
mentioned.
While you were in the district attorney's office, I learned that the university appointed you as instructor for the Minor Judiciary and Constables Association of Allegheny County. And you held the same office with the Western Pennsylvania Chief of Police Association.
Yeah.
What was that assignment? What were you doing there?
Well, we held classes for the minor judiciary, the squires throughout the county, and discussed the aspects of their office as it related to the district attorney's office during that period of time. And we had the schools going, and at that time, I mean, Rawhauser is the one that I really got the first breaks under, and he was the first, and that's when we went and set up the crime laboratory. I was sent out to the Chicago area. This is a proposed laboratory thing on the crime.
What is the crime laboratory?
The crime laboratory has experts in the fields of bullet tests and matters of that type. You have chemistry involved because you have a need for this in a community or a county this size. I mean, it's a small type of thing like the FBI has in Washington. And we set up this crime laboratory and with a lot of sophisticated equipment, and it worked out very appropriately. Rawhauser sent me to a number of different cities for the purpose of creating and organizing the Crown Laboratory to see what they had. And we visited the top ones in the country, Chicago, New York, Columbus, St. Louis, and the FBI. And then we picked up a fella in Chicago, a neighboring community there. And he came down, and we finally got the county commissioners to appropriate the funds for a crime laboratory here.
And, of course, that exists today.
It exists today on a modified basis. It's unfortunate that today, I think it's unfortunate, that they haven't followed through as with the force that we did at one time. But we do have experts in the Crown Laboratory, some of whom go back as far as the time that I was there working with them. But we have the sophisticated equipment there for all sorts of testing, bullets and so forth. And we have one of the top ground labs in the country. I'm not sure that it's quite as effective as it once was, because the funding is different. But we do have experts, and they're called upon to testify, because these are important aspects of cases that come up. And they examine the items of evidence brought in. And these people are all college graduates, trained in chemistry, physics, and so forth, so that they know just what their problems are. Under Rauhauser, I toured a number of cities for the purpose of creating this crime lab to see how they were operating. And we saw some of the top crime labs in the country. We visited Chicago, New York, Columbus, St. Louis, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation in Washington. Well, of course, we couldn't expend the monies that they had, but we did have a very fine setup. And we bought equipment that was valuable in assisting in examinations and so forth.
You have quite a vital role in establishing that, then.
Yes, during the early days, yes. I mean, now, of course, it goes on its own.
On its own momentum.
Yeah, that's right. But it was a, I think, a very positive contribution, and I'm glad that it was there.
Judge Strauss, to return to the more than 100 murder cases that you prosecuted, did any of them receive capital punishment in those days?
Yes, there were a few. Frankly, I don't recall all, but there were a few. Capital punishment was never used or misused in any case that I can ever recall. Its presence in the system was good, but for a number of years, of course, that was not available. And now they can have capital punishment, but it's been limited all over the country. They're coming back to it. They at one time thought they could do away with it. There haven't been too many death cases with that.
What is your personal philosophy about death punishment?
I think it's something that's essential. I think that it has to be there. I think to a certain extent it is a deterrent. Now, I wouldn't say that it deters all crime. Obviously not. Nothing could. But I do feel that the possibility of that type of punishment, or not punishment, but extinction, would have a salutary, and has had a salutary effect on the crime situation in the country. I mean, it's not something that's invoked often, where you have cases like we are now getting in the courts, where you have professional killers that are operating, and gang wars or whatever, to the extent that it exists. I think that it's essential, because it's the only thing they know and the only thing they fear. There haven't been too many executions in this state. I mean, in recent years, of course, it's been in limbo, but they're going back to it.
You see a potential swinging back.
I see that it is swinging back.
Do you recall if there were any the Jews among the hundreds of the...
No. There were none. I mean, and that wasn't by selection process, but I mean, they just, they don't fall within that category.
Why do you think that is?
Well,
just interested as we discuss it.
Yeah. The only thing, reason that I can, they're too smart. I mean, I think that if they, I mean, that they would realize that the, that if they did or committed a first degree murder, and it was serious enough, that it might be applied to a Jew quicker than it would be to somebody else. I don't know, but I've never known them in this county. And I'm sure there may have been some throughout the country, but they would never leave the pack in that.
Well, on the whole, do you feel that the Jewish individuals form a smaller portion of criminal offenders?
I don't think there's any question, but that's true. It is a much smaller than their percentage would normally bring about as a group.
Do you think that the ethical values of Judaism have anything to do with that?
Well, I'm sure that the training, the background, the religious training they get certainly has something to do with it. And the fact that they realize they're a minority and that it wouldn't be hard to stir up people enough if they acted differently or disobeyed the law.
So that's one of the side effects of anti-Semitism. It has a positive role.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Was it following this period in the district attorney's office that you were then elected to judge of the Court of Common Pleas?
Yes. Well, at first I was elected to the county court, but it didn't last long because they merged right after that. And then I was elected to the Court of Common Pleas.
Endorsed by the Democratic Party, is
yes,
that correct?
That's right.
How did you happen to win this endorsement? How did this come about?
Well, I mean, the only thing that I can say, I mean, it wasn't that I had any background of support and that sort of thing for the party or had any contributions to make or anything like that. It was during the days of... I guess Lawrence was around, and I'm just trying to. I didn't have any trouble when I ran. Mm-hmm. I ran first for the county court, and then the courts were merged, and then the next time I was an incumbent in the court, and that's the situation. So.
What does the term common pleas mean? I've heard it used, but I've never known what it signifies.
Well, it's a hand-me-down from the old English setup, and it relates to a level of the operation. A county court was below that. The common plea court was the court for accident cases where juries were selected, or non-jury, as the case might be, and the criminal division also came about in the Court of Common Pleas. It's the trial court.
I see.
Yeah, and those above are the Superior Court and the Supreme Court.
Well, is this your present situation, Judge, in the Court of Common Pleas?
Yeah, I am a senior judge. I have been for the last 3 years. We're not, I mean, a regular judge has to retire at the age of 70. And I'm 73 now. But we can work, I mean, if there's a need, and we're able to work. I mean, we don't we don't serve as a matter of right. I mean, we can't demand that. I mean, like a person who is elected. But we are able to serve, I mean, as a senior judge, if there's a need and there's a call for it.
I see. It just depends then on the volume.
Well, it depends on the, well, that they have been short in judges, let me put it that way. There are a number of senior judges, Judge Rawhauser, who is older than I am. He doesn't work as much as I do. Last year, I mean, 1 year we worked, I think about 3 or 4 months for nothing. But, I mean, there were a group of us that just felt that, look, if you're going to work, you might as well keep going, because if you drop out of it, then you start to slip, and then you're not really of any value. I feel that it's therapeutic. I really do. I was the administrative judge in the criminal division for up to 1978, and then my term expired, and I'd had enough of the administrative end. But during that time,
what does administrative judge mean?
Well, he's the head of the division. We, during the time that I was the administrative judge, there were funds set forth for the modernizing of the courthouse down there. And there was a substantial sum that was made to make sure that there was air conditioning in the courthouse so that the courts could carry on during the summer. And we did a pretty good job in those days. But, I mean, as I say, the funds are, they were a little shy last year. I mean, this last year, no, I think the last year, well, it was the year before, where they ran out. And but the judges, Rawhauser, Weir, and McKenna, They were older judges than I was. Well, McKenna still works occasionally. I mean, not I don't think as regular as I do, but he does. Weir does. Rawhauser takes more vacation time. He's a little fuzzier than the rest of us at this point in time. But, I mean, as long as he can work, I mean, these judges, why, they do. If we get paid all right, and if we don't, it's all right, too. But you can't stop because they run out of funds. If you do, then to come back when you're much older, it's more difficult.
I can see that.
Now, we have, for example, here, I mean, the things that we do, just to give you a little idea, I brought home, this has nothing to do with what we're doing now, but these are sentencing days that are set up.
I see.
Now, this is set up for one day. I mean, one afternoon, as a matter of fact. All these cases here, it's the full day, not the afternoon. These are cases that I've had in front of me that are up for sentencing this on Wednesday. And the reason, wait, Wednesday is it? What is today?
Today's
Wednesday, right. These people are coming in for sentencing. What I was doing during the morning was sitting down making notes on the side so that I'll read the pre-sentence report. We have a probation office that looks into these matters. I mean, they have professionals, social workers who check up on these people, and we get the whole rapport. And this is for Monday. This maybe 1 or 2 days a month that we do nothing but this, and that's what I'll be doing tomorrow. And I was getting it ready here. Now, let me see if there was something else that was today. Oh, this here was a project that we could try again. This is a Pennsylvania suggested criminal jury instructions. Now, the...
There's a lot of instructions.
Oh, there's no question about it. You can see all sorts of crimes and offenses and the instructions, the purpose of it. Is to assist judges throughout the state in doing it right so that they don't have to have a higher court review it and say, but you didn't do this, you didn't do that.
But also make for consistency.
Oh, yes, and uniformity, as it should be throughout the state.
Who sets up these? Who sets up these rules?
Well, this was a committee, the chair of the Supreme Court Committee for the Proposed Standard Jury Instructions, a fellow by the name of George Barkow, Esquire from Erie. He was a one of the citizens. Lauren Lewis was the chairman of this committee. We had a fellow by the name of Martin Belsky from Philadelphia, brilliant individual, a lawyer. Young fellow, but I mean, he was a magnificent lawyer and had a terrific grasp of the law, and he worked on these instructions. We had the Honorable Paul Campbell, a judge from another district, James Kavanaugh, who's now on the Supreme Court or Superior Court, and Crider. I don't know whether he's dead or alive. And then I was appointed on that committee too. What we would do would be to, once a month, we would go down on maybe a Thursday or a Friday and get together with the other members of this committee on the, now these are the criminal jury instructions. There was also a civil committee. That was a different committee, but it was the same idea and worked in the same fashion. The purpose of this, so that when the law is changed, or whatever the law is, that if they have a standard jury instruction that is fair to both sides, that saves a fortune in mistrials or new trials that have to be granted by the appellate courts. So we used to go down about once a month for about a day or a day and a half. Usually in Philadelphia we'd have, sometimes we held them in Harrisburg. But usually in Philadelphia, where this group would get together, and we had some of these people who were especially equipped, who drafted these things, and we would discuss them to make sure that they were appropriate and that they were consistent with the law. And they're a tremendous help.
Well, they form guidelines for
you. Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, when you go to charge a jury today, you've got to be very, very careful, unless you want to risk a mistrial. And when the cases go to the appellate courts, all they're doing is looking for trouble. If you leave out a period, I mean, that's a little exaggeration, but if you leave out anything that has any relationship to it that's basic, then you're in trouble. And I mean, we get these things there, they're brought up to date time to time. So that was a big help, I think, in the...
were a participating member in that.
Yes, that's right. Judge Lewis and I were from here. They had a couple of other fellows from Philadelphia, Kavanaugh and a fellow who's on the Supreme Court now. I mean, moved up to that court. He was on the committee. And we would get together and hash these things out.
Is the term administrative judge synonymous with the term president judge? Is that similar?
Well, it's the president judge usually is for the whole court.
I see.
He does no work. I mean, no work as a trial judge.
I see.
I mean, he administers the whole thing. The other in the division.
I see.
Now, actually, there should. I mean, I don't think it'd be wise to put this in as a comment. I frankly feel, but I mean this off the record, that they would do well to not have administrative judges. When I was administrative judge, we made some contributions to the system. We modernized the whole courthouse. I have a court in the round, which has beautiful formica tables around. I mean, the jury section is... I mean, I look down from my place to my right is an arch or a quarter of a circle in this black formica where the district attorney sits and his witnesses who may be coming up or who are briefing him as he goes along and calling witnesses. And on the other side of me, I'm about 2 feet above. Maybe not 2 feet, maybe just one. Anyway, I'm about that, above the level there, but still part of the half circle. And then on the other side is the defense counsel with his lawyer, and we have so that you can magnify the voice, the hearing, the speakers. Then there's a break. You have half a circle here, the DA over here with his my minute clerk beside him on the same level, my bench on top. On the other side is the defense lawyer, and the court reporters first, and then the defense lawyer and his client there, and then the other half was set seat 14 people. That's the jury. And we have a back wall there, so that there's nothing beyond them except this tiny little wall, which is nice and attractive. The advantage of it is that there's a little distraction. I mean, the old traditional system, the judge sits up here, the jury sits over there, and all the people...